And here we go, everyone. Yeah, I'm quite privileged, actually, tonight, because I've got Warwick Ballinger in the studio, plus his beautiful wife, Sonia. But she's resigned away from the microphone. Is that right, Sonia? She's just nodding there. So that's like a radio thing. You just nod. Anyway, Warwick's kindly come in to update the whole community on the Barham River Mega Hotel, as I call it, but I dare say you may call it something else. We call it the Mega Hotel. So welcome, Warwick. Welcome to Radio Caroline.
Thank you, Caroline, for inviting us in for this opportunity.
Pleasure yeah, no to be problem. Here. No problem at all. So what's happening? What's happening there, Warwick?
Well, since last Wednesday's directions hearing, where Planning Panels Victoria came down and held a panel meeting here at the Elderly Sits, and they gave a bit of shape to the way going forward. They heard the information from the proponent on where they think the proposal is, and then they gave a bit of directions as to where it should go. And yep. the substance of that is yep. is that they were basically directed to go and prepare a more comprehensive set of documentation,
yep,
which clearly shows what's proposed, where it's proposed on the site, what it's going to look like, what the ramifications are for the development, and once those documents are prepared, to resubmit them to the council and to DWELP, and then to make them available to the public, and we'll all get to have another look at them.
Okay, so I read into that then, Warwick. If I could just come a little closer to your microphone, that would be great. I read into that we're back to square one. Is that how I understand it for the community?
There's a huge amount of work to be done by the proponent to make to make the application acceptable and to make it conform with the same level and standards that the Kaiwaikawe Shire demands of every building permit application.
Yeah.
Normally, when you're proposing to do a development, you would look at a site and you would look at where you can't build on the site due to either planning law or physical constraints of the site. You know, there might be a waterfall, there might be a landslip, there might be vegetation, and there's a lot of aspects to do with planning law as well, such as sight lines from the Great Ocean Road and the Great Ocean Walk, things like this.
Yep.
So normally you would analyse your site, work out where it all conforms within the Planning and Environment Act, and then with what you've got left, you would design something appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that wasn't the case with this particular application. They've designed it the other way around. They've drawn on the site plan various elements which don't conform to any of the natural features on the site.
Yep.
Or planning and environment law in lots of different aspects. And because of that, once the geotechnical analysis was done on the site, a lot of the elements, such as the villas and indeed possibly the hotel itself, can't physically be built where it was drawn on the site.
Okay.
So that throws into disarray all of the associated stormwater drains, planage, the vegetation plan. All of that is then subject to
review.
Yeah, that's right. Because of if you can't build what you've written on the plan, then it's all out the window, basically.
Yep. And so, just to get rid of an Apollo Bay Chinese rumor, well, that's probably a very sad pun, actually, but Apollo Bay rumour, there was a stage one, a stage two. Is that correct? And stage two has been, I'm just trying to clarify the community.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Stage two has been withdrawn.
Well, no, how the staging came about, the initial proposal was for the entire development, which included stage one and stage two. The Kaiwaikawe Council decided that there was not sufficient information to enable them to consider stage two because there was no site plans, there was no elevations, no montages, all of the basic stuff was missing. So they took it upon themselves to only be considering stage one. However, that was the Colac Otway Shire initiative. Once they abrogated responsibility to the minister, then their opinion of the staging fell away. So the minister and the planning panels Victoria at their directions hearing was indeed still considering the entire proposal of stage one and two. However, at the directions hearing, the proponent advised that their proposal is now only stage one. And so they only want stage one to be considered.
Okay, all right. So that's what's happening at the moment. So we've just got stage one.
Yep.
And they need to do more analysis, more reporting in order to... Is it a complete new planning application?
No, it's an amendment to the existing one.
Yep.
They don't have to resubmit from ground zero again, but they do have to do a formal amendment. And all of the documents have to be resubmitted and labelled as such.
Yeah.
There's no cross-reference referencing to the prior application documentation. So one of the key aspects that they do need to do is they have to do the geotechnical analysis on the site to determine what can actually be built where. Because it's such a high-risk site, the geotechnical analysis is hugely important because it's no use drawing a picture of a house or a building or a villa or a hotel on the side of a hill that can't physically be built due to geotechnical constraints.
And that's the geology, the landslip, the rainfall, the everything.
All of that. So they have to do the geotechnical investigation, their firm that they'll retain, which is Golder's Associates that have been doing the initial work. And they will have to do very, very extensive geotechnical investigation, establish beyond refute that that building can be built in the position that it's marked to the design. And if it can't be, then they must redesign it. Golder will advise that that building will need this, that and the other. And then once that's been done, that will affect the appearance of the buildings as well, siting and appearance. And from that flows everything.
Yeah. Okay. So as a mere radio DJ, how come this wasn't done from the beginning?
Well, let's ask that question. That's not for us to speculate or know. But in a normal due process, that would be done at the very, very start. And everything flows from there. It's just logical, because otherwise the alternative is everybody wastes their time analysing and doing an investigation on a project that is physically not buildable.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's and that's somewhat the case here.
Which is what my comment was earlier, in that almost really we're back to square one.
Yes.
Well, certainly for the developer anyway, he's got obviously a lot more stuff to go away and do, really.
There's a huge amount of work to be done. He has to go back and start at the start of the process that any of us would have to undertake in order to get a planning application up to an acceptable stage for either the council. And in this case, seeing as how the original application has achieved state significance, even though now it's only 40% of that, which raises another question. At what level can we keep cutting it back for it to be state significance, or is it just a hotel now?
So just to, before we just go into a little bit of music, so has the state backed off then now? So we've got to go through this, yourself, the Objectors Inc., and the developer have now, and the Colac Otway Shire, have now got to go through this stage once again, although in a smaller format. And so is the state minister not involved until there's another decision made? Do the Colac Otway Shire have to make another decision?
No. Colac Otway Shire...
Explain that.
Aren't the determining authority anymore. Yeah. They're the referral authority.
Even with the new application?
It's an amendment to the existing application.
That's right.
The minister hasn't got involved. He's appointed an independent panel to assess the application on his behalf. And then once that independent panel arrives at a conclusion, they'll make a recommendation to the minister and the minister would make his decision. But before the independent panel can consider the application any further, there is this whole raft of information that it requires.
Yeah.
And this reflects the position of the Colac Otway Council at their special planning meeting in February, when they said it's very difficult for us to do a merits assessment on the application when there's so much information missing. It's like, you know, how do you like this application? Well, show me the application.
Yeah.
So it's similar to that. Everyone is actually now sitting back and saying, well, what are you actually proposing on the site? Where are you proposing it in relation to the site and the physical features? And what's it going to look like? Because what they initially proposed is not substantiated or buildable from a geotechnical point of view.
Yeah, okay. So,
or has to be proven to be.
Okay, so to me as a layperson, that means that the developer has a heck of a lot of money to spend and a heck of a lot of time to commit to getting into this new stage of getting approval for the mega hotel.
Yes, absolutely. If he's serious, he will have to show it now. It has to be ratcheted up from the level of documentation and application that was tabled. This is patently unacceptable to anybody.
Yeah.
And now they've been called on it, basically.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So so your feeling from the meeting, unfortunately I couldn't be there, I had to be in Melbourne, but your feeling from the meeting, how did the developer sort of react to this?
Well,
information, this, or was he not surprised, or was he expecting this? Did he look a little upset? Did he look a bit jarred off? What was your feeling?
Well, I don't think he was ecstatic about any of this. We can only really talk about it from our point of view, which rather than his.
Yes, obviously.
So we're very relieved that due process is now being followed.
Yeah.
And the standard expectations that are required from a planning application are being followed, because up until now it hasn't been, and that was raising serious concerns and doubts in the community.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I think it's great progress, really. I'm just going to play a song, Warwick, and we're just going to have a little bit of a chat off air. I'm going to play the Jacksons' Blame It on the Boogie, which is always quite nice, isn't it, really? You know, let's blame it on somebody. Those members will blame it on the boogie. And we'll just come back and see how people can still continue helping you, because obviously Objectives Inc. still need fundraising and help and commitment.
Yeah, it's going to another level.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm just going to play the Jacksons, Warwick, and we'll come back and have a chat about how the community can still keep helping you. And so you're back on 87.6 FM, Apollo Bay's community radio, and specifically Radio Caroline. It's the new format tonight. I have people coming in to chat and bits and bobs, and I'm very privileged tonight to have Warwick and Sonia Ballinger heading up the Objectors Inc. for the Barham River Mega Hotel. They're coming in here to chat about what the developments have been in the last week or so, because there has been major, major developments. Some people have got the wrong end of the stick, and some people don't understand what's going on. So Warwick has kindly come in here tonight to spend some of his time to explain what is going on. So here's the second part of it. We'll probably do about another 5 minutes or so, Warwick. So what we've got so far is the developer has had to resubmit everything. He's had to withdraw. He's withdrawn stage two. He's had to resubmit an amendment to the application, which means we're not quite back to square one, but we're back to square one and a half. And we have time, we, as in the peoples, have time to consider. He has to do major geotechnical reports and other surveys that should have been done in the first place, and he hasn't, and then we'll resubmit. So that's in about sort of 21 days or so, is that correct?
No.
Or have I got it wrong?
No.
Please inform everyone if I've got it wrong, because we don't want everybody to get the wrong end of the stick.
Our understanding is that it's a somewhat open-ended time frame for him to do the work, because it's so extensive.
Mm.
Once the completed request for information list is is done and all of the information that's requested has been submitted, the community and the council will have 21 days to examine that.
Right, yes.
But the 21 days starts once all of the further information has been submitted and displayed on the Colac Otway Council website.
So, yeah, okay. So he's got to get all his facts together, his geotechnical reports, his everything.
Yes.
And then the 21 days also kicks in.
That's right. So it's somewhat open-ended at this stage. The panel chairman said he wasn't going to indicate how long that would take or what dates the panel may or may not reconvene because it was so open-ended. Although I note on the letter from the directions panel that we've just received that they will be requesting from the proponent some indication as to what the expected time frame is.
Right.
But regardless of how long it takes the proponent to gather the extra information, once that has all been submitted, the community will have 21 days to examine it and to realign their position and rejig any submissions that they would like to put to the panel at a formal panel hearing.
Okay, so at the moment, for the people who in the community who are objecting to this development or supporting it, doesn't matter which way, they can just rest easy at the moment and they will have another opportunity to support or object, or do you have to be an original objector in order to object again?
Reading the directions letter from the panel, it seems that you have to have made a submission, especially with the request to be heard. Though we can clarify that. We only got this letter late this afternoon.
Yeah.
We can clarify if new submissions can be tabled and requests to be heard forms can be submitted, because that was our understanding at the panel hearing.
Okay.
The wording's a little ambiguous in the letter. We can clarify that for next week's show.
Okay, all right.
or whatever.
Or whenever, yeah.
Yeah, so, but once all of the information is received, then 21 days starts. It's not as if something is going to happen in 21 days time.
Yeah.
The ball is very firmly back in the proponent's court. He has to comply with the further information. There is very extensive geotechnical work which needs to be completed before the plans can be redrawn to confirm footings, design, etc. And then from that flows everything. The montages, the visual impact to the World Heritage listed Ocean Road and Walk. Everything flows from that.
Yep.
The impact to the environment, because once they've established what they're actually going to build and what it's going to look like, we can all move forward.
Yeah.
But until that point, there's very little that we can actually do. The ball is back in his court.
Yeah. I must say, just off the... Well, it's not off the record because everybody's listening, aren't they? But my sister, back in England, is a town planner and does a lot of developments and quite dubious, you know, like contentious, I should say, developments. And what they've drawn up there is a 10-stage process in order to put a planning application in. And so you have to tick all 10 boxes regardless. And... So you have to do borehole reports, you have to do visual reports, you have to do sightline reports, all this, even if there is nothing. Like, even if you're a house, a farm, in the middle of bloody nowhere, you've still got to do this stuff.
Yeah, that's standard procedure here too.
I don't know, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but it would appear to me that the proponent has not ticked... I'm not sure there are any boxes to tick in Colac Otway Shire, but they haven't necessarily ticked all 10 boxes. I'm just saying that my sister rejects an application if they've gone numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and they think 6 is not relevant because it's not on a Roman road, and so they've just said none. They still have to do something, and then they do 7, 8, 9. And therefore, you've got that. Then you submit it with all your montages and your geotech and whatever.
Yeah. That's absolutely correct. It's the same here too.
Yeah.
And this is why it beggars belief that it's got to this point without the list. And even now, the Cultural Heritage Management Plan is a prerequisite to accompany an application, but the panel, the planning panel in this particular instance, for some reason, has said that it's not absolutely necessary to accompany the application, which the Colac-Otway Council, to their credit, objected to as to why should there be a break in procedure for this one application.
Yeah.
The basis of the proponent, why he didn't want to do it, he stated that it was a lot of work and a lot of money. Like, big deal. Everyone has that same, we have to pay respect to those members of the community that this refers to.
Yeah.
And why should not they?
True. I completely agree. I mean, and I'm sat on the fence here as a radio broadcaster. I'm sat on the fence, but it seems to me that not all boxes, as I said, have been ticked. And so where we are now, as I see it, just so the community can understand, is that we are now in a place where the developers had to go away, fill all the boxes in.
Yes, that's correct.
That is necessary.
Yes.
Resubmit them.
Yes.
We have 21 days to
assess,
read, ask questions, object, support, whatever you want to do, and then we'll start again. Is that basically a good summary for the people out there?
Yeah, that's basically it. Without going into the too technical, there's a few technical questions which are still need to be answered that we alluded to earlier, but that's basically the summary. Once all of the information it has been submitted, 21 days after that, it'll be reconvened.
Okay.
But once the proponent indicates how long he thinks that the information will be forthcoming, and given the nature and extent of the work required, that'll be very difficult for him to determine, especially from a desktop in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Like geotechnical work in Apollo Bay. How long can that take? Like honestly, it's an unknown factor at this point. So there's a little bit of breathing space at the moment while we regroup and regather for round two.
Yeah. Okay. So while we do have breathing space, which you're quite right, we do, we still want to support us to come into the Objector Centre. We still need to fundraise.
Oh, absolutely.
Still need to get everybody's side on board. So
everyone needs to be very focused that this was round one.
Yeah.
If this is a knockout blow, so be it. But let's see.
Yeah.
If not, well, then the main bout will start, and that will be very serious.
Yeah.
So we've raised a public awareness. We've tried to get information out to the public so everyone's informed.
Yeah.
And everyone's on the same page. So yeah.
I think one of the main things as well, Warwick, is everybody needs to know what the truth is, because there's all this.
That's right.
All this kick on that people just sort of. In Apollo Bay that don't get the quite right facts, and then it ends up being something that is not really anywhere near the truth, which is why I really wanted you on tonight.
I've lost my headphones here.
Have you lost your headphones? Oh, well, there we
that's
go.
That's all right. As long as the microphone's still working.
Yeah,
the
microphone's definitely working.
Yeah, no, that's it. We've got to just wait until the proponent comes back with some actual documented facts.
Yeah, okay.
We get to look at it. We get to have another assessment of it, and we'll go again. But if that happens, it will be the main bout, as it were. We will be fronting up to the main panel hearing, and we will have to be organised, and we will have to be very professional.
Yeah.
So when that's going to occur is back in the proponent's hands.
Yeah, so we wait to hear.
We have to wait to hear.
Yeah, okay. So before we just leave then, I think you're doing a fantastic job, mate. I really do, and everybody else does. You and your beautiful wife there. Doing a fantastic job. Can you just remind people how they can help, how they can donate, where they need to pop into, please, to support your Objectors, Inc.?
The best way is to swing by the Objectors Centre on a Saturday morning, because we're trying to do other things other than only run the Objectors,
of
Inc.
Of course.
But someone's in there from 10:30 for an hour or two on Saturday mornings. There's the bank account at the Bendigo Bank, which is the best place to help, because the people that can, unless you've got expertise in a particular area that you think may be relevant,
mm-hmm.
It's going to go to a very professional level very quickly once the information is required. And the experts will need to be lined up and engaged.
Yeah.
So...
And so the
paid.
Yeah, and paid.
And so the Bendigo at a ridiculous amount yeah. rate, of course.
And so the Bendigo bank account, they can just rock into the Bendigo bank and just say Objectors Inc.
Objectors Inc.
You don't have to reel off the number or anything.
No, just go in and say I want to help Objectors Inc.
Yeah.
And they'll take it from there.
Yeah.
Because the figures are actually quite scary when you start engaging expert witnesses and legal counsel, because we need to get it right, because otherwise we're up there just waving our hands or waving our arms and wringing our hands, and that's not what we're about.
Okay. So we're saying pop into the Bendigo Bank.
Yeah.
Just say Objectors Inc. Put in what you can.
Yep.
And we're saying pop into the Objector Centre, which is on which street?
It's in
Moore Street. It is Moore Street.
It is in Moore Street,
that's
actually.
Right.
But the address is actually Pascoe Street, but we're in Moore Street. But
well,
everyone knows where it is.
If you wander around that little intersection there, everyone, you'll see all the stickers on the wall. You can chuck something in the bucket. You can have a look at what the latest details are that have come in. You can have a chat to someone. And would you like to just, seriously, Warwick, just spruik some of the people that are helping you here? Some of the professionals?
The professionals. Shelley Fanning is the absolute star. She's from Coastal Planning. She's donated so much time. She, we do reimburse her for her appearances when she's appearing against peers.
Yeah.
But all of the hours that she puts in is all pro bono. Just mm-hmm. with me annoying her or Sonia annoying her and all of the planning and the behind-the-scenes things, Shelley is absolutely doing a huge job. Stephen Hancock, who is retired, but he is putting in an enormous amount of professional hours. So, JP from Sustainable Landscapes, he's pro bono. He's doing montages.
Okay.
And the work from these people is fantastic, because it's in lieu of professional time that they could be billing.
Yeah, okay.
It's separate from the likes of Sonia and myself, who are volunteering.
Yeah.
But these professionals, they could be billing on other projects. And
they're not.
They're donating their time to the Apollo Bay community. So JP, Shelley, Steve Hancock, they're the main ones to date. And they are saving the community huge, huge dollars.
Yep. And it sounds as if they've got a lot to come. Oh, Sonia's thinking about someone else. No.
Look, there's lots of other people that are donating and have put in significant amounts of money to help us. But we're not mentioning those. Everyone knows who they are.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be ample opportunity. Well, hopefully not ample opportunity to thank them. But hopefully we don't get to round two.
The ball's not in our court anymore.
That's right.
We're sitting back. We have to sit back and wait for the information that's required in a normal planning application. Yeah. And should that be forthcoming, then everyone should be very aware that it has implications, because the proponent would have spent serious amounts of money and effort to get it up to speed.
Yep.
Whereas at the moment, this is a throwaway that they've tabled to date.
Yeah.
And it's been treated as such by the planning panel. But if it gets to round two, make no mistake, then everyone will have to have a very deep and meaningful think about what the Paradise and Barron River Valley means to them.
Yeah. That's right. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Warwick, for spending your time once again for the community. And Sonia, Sonia Ballinger, Warwick and Sonia Ballinger of Objectors Inc., thank you so much for coming into the radio. Just so you know, just so you're not upset, this will be repeated a few times, not just on the times I just said. That little thing over there is recording it, so I'm going to repeat it a few times, just so that the community know how much effort you're putting in, where we are, what's happening. And I would like this opportunity to thank you, and also to invite you in again once the developer has decided what he's going to do, once he's done what he needs to do.
Thank you very much, Carolyn, for the opportunity. And I think it's a good idea, because we want to get the correct story to the community, this because it's the community that we've got 1,500 members of Apollo Bay Community are members of Objectors Inc. And it's about 1,200 are ratepayers and residents, yep, and 300 habitual visitors.
Yeah.
And so to have that representation, it's huge. And we're trying to do our best by our members here.
Yeah.
So if we can get the correct information out, we thank you for that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to having you in the studio again. Sonia Ballinger, Warwick Ballinger, thank you very much. Objectors Inc. as well. Thank you very much.